It's right into that.
Good afternoon. It is 1:06 p.m. on Tuesday, August 21st, 2018. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Public Service Commission, joined by Commissioners Brian Crassus and Julie Fedorchak. This is a work session on case number PU-17-295, the MDU natural gas rate increase. I don't have any opening comments. Do you, Commissioner Fedorchak?
No, I do not.
Okay, so I'll turn it over to Commissioner Crash as the portfolio holder.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. I think we can, I don't know, do we have to lay out any of the general details, or can we just get right into the proposed order?
I believe we can just dig right into it.
Okay.
The whole record of the case. So.
Okay, well, let's do that. And this is a version that Commissioner Fedorchak put together. Julie, do you just want to?
Sure.
Maybe, I guess, for the record, there was a hearing, the full hearing on this case in late May, early June, and subsequently staff and the company have reached a settlement agreement, and so we're looking at settlement proposals today in this work.
Just to clarify, a partial settlement agreement. One of the issues was remained unsolved.
Correct, partial settlement.
So the draft order, at the last work session, I said I wanted to go back through all the testimony provided by the company and advocacy staff and the interveners regarding the SSIP and, you know, determine whether or not I felt that there was enough justification in the record for what the company was proposing. So I've done that, and I've worked with staff pretty significantly. I had asked Pat Fawn to go through, because he's got a lot of knowledge on the pipeline safety requirements as a manager of that program. And he went through the record, and we've met and talked, and ultimately I have worked with staff on this proposed order, which you guys all got, I think, late yesterday. There's some typos and things, so I ask you to look kind of beyond some of the details of the order into just, like, what it says more versus some of the typos, which we'll fix, and some of the formatting. There's some things that are duplicated and repetitive, et cetera, which I've flagged. But the crux of this basically approves the settlement and denies Rate 94, but acknowledges that the commission supports the adoption of a proactive approach to identifying and replacing aging natural gas infrastructure. I think that's a key piece of this. I really feel that's important, that we work with the company on a proactive approach. I appreciated all the testimony that was provided on that and how they're working towards that, and even, you know, some of the processes that they have in place in that. But where I ultimately agreed with advocacy staff and our staff is that there just isn't enough information to go from the step of here's what we're doing to identify the at-risk to here's when we determine that not only does this have the highest risk on our system, but it needs to be replaced. It's one thing to have, I mean, there's always going to be a highest risk on the system, but just because it is the highest risk, why does it need to be replaced? And that the record just was not complete enough for that, on that issue. And so I tried, and I want to thank staff for their help on number 22. If you go to number 22 of the proposed order, it really kind of speaks to the components that we came up with that we would need so that we can be clear. Here's what's missing that we need to be able to make that next step, that this is prudent, that it's now time to replace these this infrastructure under these conditions. So that really sort of spells out some of the information that we felt is lacking in the current record. And if we could have that, then we'd be able to have a more productive, collaborative conversation with the company on an SSIP and how to pay for it. So this order really denies the rate, and then rate 94, and requires that the company come back next spring. So I guess we picked that time frame because that would give them the 2018 projects, which the settlement agreement is really silent on them, but I guess because it's silent on them, it doesn't specifically deny them. So I'm assuming that they came to some agreement on those being included and the company pursuing them. So then we would get a report back from them next spring on those projects and you know, the future of an SSIP plan and the data that justifies it. So that kind of lays it all out. I mean, there's more specifics in there, but really this order approves a settlement and denies 94 with these requirements that they come back and lay out the justification for an SSIP moving forward. Did I miss anything, Jerry or Alon or Pat?
I think you did a pretty good job of summing it up.
Okay. So today we don't really need to decide because we still have till September 11th for the notice to run, but I thought it would be helpful to have this on the table as a possible option. You guys can ask questions about it and offer alternative ideas or think about it however you want to proceed.
I think it's consistent with the conversations we've had on what do you do with rate 94 in the end. I don't know if I want to use the word uncertainty, but not knowing at what stage these facilities are in, because I don't know if highest risk ties, you know, in effect to the oldest components of the system, or in some cases a certain type of pipe. But for me, testing was a big thing, and that's included in 22 to base a decision on science, rather than it's old. And at the same time, not ignoring public safety in the process. I think this is a good approach. We would definitely have more data to base a future decision on. And so spring of 2019, or as soon as available. And do we want to put a deadline? On that, acknowledging that there's always a potential risk to public safety and we don't want to wait forever. I don't think the company would be inclined to wait longer and they would want to accelerate this, so maybe that's just a given. That it will happen sooner versus later, but by July 1st at the latest, or sooner if available, or...
Yeah, if you want a deadline, we can certainly put one in there. I, at the time, thought like you did, that they'll be back here banging on the door as soon as they can.
Yeah, I think it's an assumption that can be made, but I don't know if there are any safe assumptions in the world. What if there's a significant public risk? I don't believe that. I don't know.
I don't think that you're doing anything here that changes the risks. We're just talking about cost recovery on this rate 94. I would expect that they would continue with their program as if 94 had been approved.
Or was never requested.
Yeah.
Yeah, they testified that they're running a safe system. So I expect if with this order that based on knowledge that they gained from the 2018 projects, at some point, maybe it's next year, maybe it's a different year, at some point they'll feel they have better information and more information to provide us, and when they have something that they feel needs to be replaced, they would bring it to us.
So one of the things in 22 that they're asking, that we're asking them, is to tell us what they got planned for 2019. What are they going to replace during 2019, and how much does it cost? So,
one of the things I thought should be added to the order, but I wanted to talk with staff yesterday and we never got a chance, was, you know, that this was talked about repeatedly at the hearing, their obligation to maintain safety, continually improve or replace or whatever needs to be done that is unrelated to a special mechanism for cost recovery and really unrelated to a proactive approach to old pipe. And so there probably should be a statement to that effect in here somewhere. It's just I thought the three of us would have a chance to figure out how to say it and where to put it, and we didn't. Okay. And I think that might cover kind of what you're thinking about.
I agree with that because they testified to that already. So. And I don't know whether the timing needs to be in the order or not. I think when they're ready, when they have the information, they will bring it. If they're looking at projects for next year, whether it's in this order or not, I guess I would probably on any odd-numbered year, I'd say this, if they want to have it reviewed in time for a full summer of construction, the earlier they'd bring it, the better, because there's a legislative session going on, too, and that can slow down a lot of processes. So, I don't know, they know that, and I think they'll bring us these projects when they're prepared.
Did the 2018, the replacement projects listed for 2018, they're underway right now?
I don't know the status on them, but I understand that the test year included about $400,000 for those projects.
So if we're going to grant recovery on those projects, is it also fair to ask that those components from those projects, it doesn't say specifically in 22, number 6, a status report on 2018 SSIP projects. I mean, would we want something to the effect of, so status report on 2018 SSIP projects, comma, expenditures along with a map showing each project, and testing of components from those projects?
I think it's the results of the testing.
Well, just to say, I'd personally like to have some of those components tested. Probably.
I mean, I think that's one of the frustrations is we.
Right.
I'm assuming there's tests out there that the company does on a regular basis, but that really wasn't provided. So whatever they're doing, leak surveys, testing, et cetera, plus the new stuff that they're doing in 2018 on the Al delay, just understanding all of that better and having that information available to say, this is why this needs to be replaced, or this is why we need it. It needs to be replaced when it gets to this point or whatever.
I As I read this, I'll tell you, one of the things that I wanted to emphasize most today, but then you phrased it better than I was going to, so I'm just going to reiterate it, is this difference between the highest risk and the need to replace. Yes, out of the whole system, I suppose something will be the highest risk, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it needs to be replaced. And I think that's where, in all this, for me, the connection to this whole SSIP program got lost, is that, okay, we're identifying older materials, but I don't really have anything that convinces me that they all need to be replaced. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's kind of where my line is on getting to that point of approving these things.
Right. We got numbers, but there was no, translation of this number means that it's had this many leaks or it's had this many whatever. It's got this corrosion or it's this type that has these cracks. I mean, there is no data behind the numbers to help us understand when they're trigger point is, like, now it needs to be replaced.
I don't know if we even want to identify it necessarily as high risk until we see the test results. How do we know it's high risk? It might just be the oldest infrastructure that may still have 30 years of life. I think to assume that it's high risk before we see actual test results and science behind it is really at the crux of whether or not Rate 94 was justified or is justified.
Does this
or a mechanism? It does. I don't think, I haven't seen the words high risk. It's just I don't want this to be misconstrued by somebody from.
There's at risk in number 4.
Yeah. Until we know that it is indeed high risk, I just think it's a term we have to be a little bit careful with. Because on one hand, we're calling it high risk but then we're also saying, well, we don't know that it's absolutely high risk until we see the test results.
Well, and I really struggled and still do with getting, using my judgment to overwrite the judgment of, say, Pat Darris, who is the expert in this and is running the system and knows it intimately. And so I think there's always that risk of, us getting into the weeds too much, but where we're really lacking is enough information to say it's prudent. Like, not only is it it's necessary or whatever, but it's a prudent time to do this. And so I hope the company understands that that's the information that's lacking, at least for me. And I think for the advocacy staff too, in their materials that they provided. And so we have to fill that gap. And hopefully this will outline some of the information that should help fill that gap. And if there's other things that you guys would like to see listed here, or if staff comes up with things, I think we should be as specific as we can so we don't end up in the same spot.
So on number 4, this is probably could be defined as getting down into the weeds, but system testing or other efforts to identify potentially at-risk infrastructure.
I was marking something else down. Would you repeat that?
On number 4, under 22, mm-hmm. System testing or other efforts to identify, it's potential, at-risk infrastructure, or potentially at-risk infrastructure, just adding one word. I think, again, it supports the reason why we're not pushing forward with Rate 94 at this time. I think it just supports the conversation. We want to know.
Pat and Jerry and Alana, is that clear to you?
That change was.
Yeah, I put potential in mining.
And I don't know, we've discussed a little, I don't know if we reached a conclusion whether we need a time frame or if that's up to the company to set their time frame.
Well, I have a couple questions related to that. Because I don't, the proposal, again, we didn't have much time to brainstorm at the staff level as maybe we could have. The first question from me to the commission would be, do you want to make it mandatory? I mean, the company is obligated to do what we're talking about in here as far as keeping the system safe and replacing and maintaining. The proactive approach, a company can certainly have a proactive approach, and commission can say, we're glad you do. But the company could say to itself, we're going to bag this Rate 94, and we're going to do all of this, and we're just going to come in when we need to come in for rates. And so my question is, does the commission want to make it mandatory on the company? Now, you can ask for the information, even if you don't make it mandatory that they come back with a SIP and a Rate 94. So that's one question, I think, for you to think about. If you do make it mandatory, then you probably should have a drop-dead date. You can say spring, but no later than July. I mean, you could, figure out what would be a reasonable date there, I think, if you decide that you definitely want it. And if you want the information from the work that's going on, even if they don't, they want to give up on the Rate 94, if you want the information so you have better handle on what they're doing, you can ask for that. Again, I would put in a deadline. They can always ask for the deadline to be extended if there's special circumstances. And then there's the whole question of the cost recovery. That's another question. You can get the plan, and you can get the proactive approach, and you can get the information, and you don't have to have the early cost recovery. And so those are some steps that I'm not sure the order's clear on that I think the commission has to think about.
If I could, the order is ordering paragraph number 3 does require that they file this stuff in finding 22.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that they're ordered to file it.
Yes, I'm just pointing that out so the commission knows it's what it's saying.
So, Alana, I think you make a good point. Like, number 6 could be taken out of number 22 and made its own, basically. So, like, that's one thing.
Yes.
Status report on 2018. And then a refiling of the SSIP with all this information for the future. I'm inclined to require it and keep it like it is, just because I think that it's important to get going on a strategic replacement plan so that it doesn't all happen at once down the road. So I guess there's enough issues out there that I think require us to be looking at this closely, the Al delay, the bare steel, those sorts of things that they know, they just maybe don't know it to the extent that we can say it's prudent now to act, but they're out there, they're not going away, they're going to be back at some point, and it would be good to, I think, move ahead on some sort of plan so that there isn't a huge rate shock at some point or have it all be more gradual.
I would definitely like to have a drop-dead date, not to repeat my earlier thoughts, but if there's a potential risk, we want to know sooner versus later, and I don't think it's ever a good idea to just assume that, well, the company's going to want to do this as quickly as they can to prove their case on the replacement projects. I just don't think, even if there's an extremely high probability that they would do it anyway, I still think putting the date in, whether it's July 1st, 2019, or whatever date we pick, is very important. Because I would rather know sooner versus later, just in the events things got stretched out. Because we don't know. We don't know what risk is really involved here.
I don't know. I might make it sooner than July.
I just don't know how long it takes to send material off, and there's a cost associated with having that data and those diagnostics done on whatever pieces that are sent.
I'd left it because we asked for their 2019 plan, and I don't know when they'll have that together.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, and there could be different timing. They don't have to file everything at once.
Right. Yep, they can file what they have and then, you know, let us know at that point that we're still waiting on this diagnostic stuff and that'll be here whenever, July or however. I mean, spring is kind of vague, so maybe we should just have instead as soon as available or no later than April 1st or something like that.
Yeah.
The end of spring is almost July 1,
well,
so that's why I threw that out.
I suppose.
Yeah, 10 days early.
Let's be optimistic and say May 1. May 15.
Maybe it doesn't take that long. Maybe they have it done by December.
Right.
I suppose there's nothing wrong with them filing early.
And they could file early and say, we don't have enough information. We'll need a 1-2 month extension. That's certainly happened before with the companies.
What should we just go with, or no later than May 1st, 2019?
Works for me.
I'm okay with that, and I'm sure if it's a big problem to the company, they'll be telling staff in the coming days.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really roll with this today anyway. So.
Right. Alana, what was your other question? There was the 20.
Well, I was just saying, you know, the mandatory requirement and then, you know, the information versus the rate to recover the cost.
Oh, right.
Going forward. And again, that's something that you can say you're willing to consider, and you can figure out what you're going to do with it after you see all this other stuff. I just think the order needs to be clear. Yeah. If that's the way you want to go.
So would you think something like MDU should file a detailed SSIP that includes all these things and a proposed funding mechanism, or what? What are you thinking?
I guess that's up to you. Yeah. Again, it's whether the commission wants to leave it open for MDU to decide if it wants to ask again or if the commission wants to make them ask.
I was kind of thinking.
That's what I was trying to get the commission to think
about. Yeah. All right. Well, I have a few ideas, but maybe we can talk about you. I wouldn't mind just bouncing them off of you guys separately.
I'd like to get a handle or just a general idea of what this testing may cost.
Yeah, and I tried to do that in the language here, but I tried to leave it totally open as to how it gets recovered.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about the cost of making replacements? or I think Brian was talking about testing.
Testing the materials that come out of the ground, the old material.
Whatever money they're going to spend on this for whatever reasons.
Right, that would be part of their costs estimates that they
provide.
Okay.
We would, based on what you just said, I'd slightly rewrite the beginning of 22, but we can talk about that after.
Are we establishing a whole new set of criteria for gas suppliers in the state? I mean, they came in with this, and I can't imagine there's hardly any likelihood in the world that they're not going to come back to us with SSIP projects in the future if something like this is approved as a settlement. But by requiring it, by requiring them to come and report to us on whatever risk there might be in their system out there, well, then how come we're not requiring that of the other gas companies in the state?
That's a good question.
Well, in my mind,
these people brought it up.
They brought it up, but so why don't we tell them if you want a SSIP, these things in number 22 are the kinds of things we're going to need to make a decision, but to require them to come before us when we're sure they're probably going to be doing it anyway, just I'm having trouble differentiating why would we would require MDU natural gas to do it and not the others.
Well, that is a very good question and something that we'll probably spend some time thinking about more. But in my thoughts initially, I believe that the reason why we'd require it is because they've outlined, they have Aldelay, they have the bare steel, they have these fittings that are a potential problem. They've outlined enough issues that, in my mind, raise significant questions that then make me, as a regulator, knowing these things, wanting to say, you have to come back and tell us about this because I want to know more and I want to work with you on a plan to be proactive in replacing these things. So that's kind of, I think, the distinguishing between NSP hasn't told us that. They have, and I think they've worked through some of the Aldelay many years ago already. So I don't have any facts to raise those same concerns with that company right now.
I agree.
Okay. Are there any other topics in here as a possible proposed settlement that should be discussed? I have one, but I'll wait if either of you have some.
I don't have any others.
I think the customer charge, if that's what you're going to talk about, should be discussed.
Okay. That's not what I was going to say, so tell me what I should have planned to say.
Well, Randy, nobody really. No.
The settlement, you know, covers that, but you do have a party that didn't settle, and so you still possibly might get comments or something on it. I don't know. But, I mean, at least the staff needs to know what the commission thinks about the customer charge issue. And the way the order is written, you know, it agrees with the settlement, but I've said we need to beef up the paragraph a little bit with the rationale. The sentence that was in there I took out because I didn't think it was in the record. But.
Well, I thought that the rationale, and this is one where I thought we repeated ourselves twice. That
okay. And maybe we did.
It's in.
You're all changing different versions of this order at the same time. So.
Number 3 and 10.
Yeah, but let's see.
13.
Here, number 13, yeah. The numerous benefits of recovering non-commodity costs through a fixed monthly charge for residential customers outweigh the concerns expressed by AARP. I mean, I looked at that and I wouldn't, you know, if it's the numerous benefits, maybe could be enumerated a little bit.
Exactly. And the sentence in the middle was about the low income thing that everybody talks about and nobody proves.
Right.
So that one came out.
In my mind, the commission's already made this decision. And that rate design was already implemented. That was the existing rate design when we went into the case. And it was all explained before when the commission approved it, what the benefits are and everything else.
So then we would say it wasn't shown that we should change.
Yeah.
So it needs a little tweaking.
Okay.
If the commission agrees with the concept.
Isn't that kind of a placeholder for now? Don't we have to wait to see if anything else is filed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to me, this is just sort of a placeholder for now.
Yes, but, you know, we're taking notes on what to do with the language if we end up...
Yeah.
I will say I don't disagree really with what's in here, but in my notes, when I got to number 10, I wrote down that it repeats number 3.
Yeah.
And when I got to number 13, I wrote down that it just kind of adds some more to number 3. But to me, those are all three the same paragraph.
Yeah, 10 and 3, one of them can go, but then...
11 and 2 are similar as well.
It's probably just from the fact that we were changing.
Yeah.
Like I said, working on the different versions.
So, are we done with that subject? Okay. So, I don't know how long it's been since the staff and the company came to their proposed settlement, and we've got now another few weeks to wait on additional potential comments. I'm sure the company is thinking about how a refund would be handled. So is there any reason why these customers will have to, whenever we do conclude this case, then have to wait 3 more months on their refund? It seems to me that could be done in 30 days, the next billing.
That was one of the terms of the settlement, but it's probably...
90 days?
But I don't know that in that time anybody realized we're going to have this waiting process. And I mean, whatever calculations or modeling that has to be done, it would seem like could all be being done.
It would go right up to the day that the new rates become effective, the refund period.
But so it seems like they could be figuring out how to do that right now, and the next month after that becomes effective, they could be doing refunds.
Yeah, we'd have to ask them, I think.
Well, they also have to know that the amount is approved before they jump into calculating.
They have to do a refund plan.
They can be doing all that planning and then plug the numbers in, and
I
can't believe it takes months to plug the numbers in.
Yeah, I'm thinking the commission approves the refund plan.
Well, one thing you have to take into consideration, billing cycle.
Getting them all out, too. I don't know. We'll have to ask. There's nothing we know about that.
So, I didn't... how long do they have to file the refund plan?
Within 90.
So it could be 180 days.
It says 90 days after commission approval is when the refunds need to be issued.
Okay. So that's a little different than how you've got number 4 on the order.
So, Randy, are you talking about instead making it within 30?
That is.
Yeah.
But with billings...
refund plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought the settlement said within 90 days of the commission's approval of the settlement.
30 days might be problematic simply because of how a billing cycle may land. And then if you have to wait until the next customer's bill, that eats up 30 days for anyone that bumps right up to those days. So I don't know, 60, you know, whether or not 60 would be doable, I don't know, versus 90. But I don't think 30 would be.
I still think it possibly is, but I mean, I'm sure it'll be discussed.
We'll make it as short as humanly possible.
Humanly and with the aid of computers.
Yes. People put it, stuff in the computer.
Anything else?
The refund plan will be submitted within 30 days of an entry of an order.
Okay, so they got 30 days to do the plan, and then according to this, they've got 90 days.
90 days to get the refund done.
Yeah.
So that might be a billing cycle, the way the billing cycles go together.
See what can be done to bring this together. They don't do all their, as I recall, unless this was in discussion on electric, as I recall. And I know they build their electric and gas together. They don't do, like, all their customers get a bill one day.
No.
It's rotated, and it seems to me pretty quickly after something's approved, the first ones should be able to start getting them.
Yeah, so we should ask them and find out. I think a billing cycle takes, like, a month to run, so we need at least that.
Yeah.
Investigate it. Anything else? Okay, thank you. We are concluded, and we'll see you back here at
2:30.